Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Jerry Buchholz, Chief Human Capital Officer at NASA. Also joining us from IBM is Lori Feller. Well, Jerry, I have the pleasure of talking to most of my guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships in meeting their mission. How are you at NASA leveraging collaboration and partnerships to meet your mission?
Well, one of the things that I sit on the Chief Human Capital Officers Council of the federal government, and for many, many years, human capital has been on the GAO high-risk list for skills gaps for the federal government. So there was a big project going on. It's actually still going on at the federal government level to address strategies for closing skills gaps with the intention that improvements will be made in this area and that human capital will move off the GAO high-risk list. And one of the areas that they identified through this process was STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math as a functional group that the federal government needed to give special attention to. So I have had a working group, actually we call ourselves a collaborative, of STEM agencies in the federal government looking at issues of STEM employment across the federal government for the full employee life cycle. We call ourselves a collaborative because we invite all federal agencies with a STEM mission or with a subcomponent with a STEM mission who have an experiment or a pilot that they would like to run, that they would like help with, to come to our collaborative. We bring high-ranking officials from OPM and from the Office of Science, Technology, Policy in to meet, as well as very, very technical experts from OPM to meet with individuals who then, you know, propose their pilot or their experiment, what they would like to accomplish. And then this group of people gives them ideas about what they can do, who they can talk to, who they can meet with, who they could partner with that would help their pilot or experiment be successful. We find this model is a little different than the traditional federal government working group because those groups generally go for broadest inclusion, which is not what we are going for. What we are going for are proof of concept. So we have several really exciting initiatives that are underway right now through this group. I am leading an effort for the federal government on a program that we're calling PSTEMF. So I'm sure everyone's familiar, or a lot of people are familiar, with the President's Management Fellows. What we are doing is working with OPM to establish a STEM track in the President's Fellowship Program to bring scientists, technologists, engineering, math professionals who aspire to technical leadership in the federal government, so running large research projects, heading up laboratories, et cetera, to bring those individuals into the workforce in both greater numbers, but also using the benefits of the PMF program, which is a very, very rigorous quality assessment of the candidate, into the workforce to fill those future leadership jobs that we are going to have across the federal government. Our collaborative is working great, and I think that it is really demonstrates the power of leveraging partnerships like that so that you can create something new and different that has never existed before.
It's really quite exciting. The Partnership for Public Service named NASA the best places to work among large federal agencies. Can you share with us some of your lessons and what you've learned along the way? In addition, what did you learn just from the survey process and are now doing differently as a result of it?
I will tell you that it was a surprise win. Not so much from our perspective, because we worked really, really hard through shuttle transition to make that happen, because that's the survey that this award was based on was during shuttle transition. So we were going through a major transformation of our agency mission, end of a 30-year program, you know, going forward in a completely new and different direction. Many people wrote us off. Many people expected our results to tank. And in fact, that wouldn't be an unreasonable outcome to expect under such difficult circumstances. We worked on it really hard. Some of the things that we did that I think are really, really important, and I think that they're especially important right now. First, we made sure that we told people that their opinion matters, that we want to know what they think because we want to work to make the organization the best organization that we can make it, given our circumstances, certainly, and that we will listen to what they have to say and we will do something about the feedback that they give us. And that, I think, is the most important thing you can say to your workforce, especially in difficult times. The second thing that we did is what I call connecting the dots. So you get feedback from the workforce, you take action on that feedback. I think the step that agencies often forget to take is going back to the workforce and saying, through the survey, you told us that teleworking and working from anywhere and the mobile workforce were very important to you. The other thing is, we actually focused on two things. The mobile workforce aspect in our Work From Anywhere campaign and connecting our people through virtual environments. These were two very, very difficult things. The mistake that I see other agencies make is they focus on 12 things. So nothing gets the direct attention that it needs to create the level of influence that you're trying to create in the agency. And sometimes it can be hard to decide on one or two things and pick out of a whole slate of things which two things that you're going to focus on. But my best advice is focus on one or two things that really matter to your workforce. Tell them that their opinion matters and connect the dots back to the feedback that you've received.
So, Jerry, I'd like to turn to the future. Given your role as a NASA Chico, what are some of the government-wide workforce and human capital issues facing us?
We need to be very creative. We need to think about things in completely new and different ways. We need to be persistent. We need to sort through really, really difficult problems and questions. But what we can't do is give up. We have to really refocus everyone's attention and keep them focused on the mission and looking forward. And the second thing is, now is the time to really rethink hiring. And I know that sounds like an odd thing to say. But the truth of the matter is, when you have lulls in federal hiring, that's the time to think about retooling, like we are with the President's STEM Fellows. And it's the time to think about how do we approach recruitment and hiring to produce quality in a different kind of way. Because even though it doesn't seem like it now, at some point, federal hiring is going to pick up again. And then we're going to have had this big window where we didn't bring large numbers of people into the federal government. And there's going to be this rush, 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 and we won't have time to retool. So you really have to think about this bathtub in hiring as an opportunity to invest now for future hiring, particularly early career hiring. And it's also a really good time, I think, to invest in leadership development for your workforce. So if you're focusing on those three things, keeping a forward focus, focusing on retooling, hiring, and other processes that in your agency, and focusing on the development of your leaders, I think that that will help people keep a positive perspective, and it will also set you up for success when the business of government starts ramping up again.
Well, I'd like to take this conversation about the future internal to NASA and its new vision for space exploration. How do you envision NASA's human capital changes needs changing over the next 3 to 5 years? And what are you going to do to meet these changes and seize opportunities?
So we're going to focus our efforts very intentionally in two specific areas, and that is on building role model supervisors. So we have supervisors in the agency that no one's ideal, but the idea is that they're, in terms of what we need for the future, they're, you know, the ideal supervisor. They have the attributes we're looking for. They have the skills that we're looking for. And then we have a group of people who want to be a model supervisor, and they just need a little bit of help. They need a little push to get them into that group of people that that we think of as the role model supervisors. So we're going to focus, like rings on a tree, we're going to focus on expanding that core of role model supervisors and growing it every year and expanding the number of people who have the skills and attributes that we are looking for the future. So we have lots of people in the agency that are readily identifiable targets. We have all the individuals who have been through our NASA FIRST and MLOP programs, but we also have all the people who were nominated for those programs, but perhaps not selected. So they were among a group of very, very talented people. They themselves are very, very talented people and high potential people, but for whatever reason, the year that they applied, they didn't make the cut, because of course we can't put everybody who wants to go through the program through the program. So it's easy to identify this, you know, these rings of people that we can start pulling into the core group. And so we are going to really work hard on that, because at the end of the day, the person who has the most impact on your work and your work-life balance is your first-line supervisor. And if you have really high-quality first-line supervisors that view developing innovative employees as a valuable use of time, then that is going to enhance the mission of the overall mission of the organization and build the kind of workforce culture that we're looking for. The second thing that we're really going to focus on is connecting people to each other and the mission. I've talked about that a couple of different ways. It is really, really, really important right now. We have gone, we plowed through and worked really hard on improving our capability to use virtual environments in the agency. We sat down and we really thought through and we really worked our way through, how do you conduct virtual meetings and give people a meaningful collaborative experience in a virtual environment? And we took this group of people who were very skeptical that this was even possible. And in a 30-day window, because we conducted the summit over a month, the whole month of October, and there were segments that you could, you know, pre-video tape sessions you could walk online. There was online training. There were books you could read. There was a wide variety of things. And then there were live sessions that we conducted. So really focusing on meaningful collaborative experiences through virtual working environments, infusing the workforce with the skill set that it needs to interact and collaborate through virtual environments. I think this is just so, so very important, and it is a focus for our human capital strategy for the next several years.
So, Jerry, what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
I think that the call to serve is stronger for some people than it is for others. You know, I entered public service as a Peace Corps volunteer. That's about as strong a call to serve as a person can receive. But I would advise people who are contemplating careers in the federal government that the federal government goes through ebbs and flows. There are lean times, and then there are less lean times. The important thing is that you are working on a mission that you can really engage in and that you feel that you can make a valuable contribution to. And that's a really personal decision. I think that people are not quite as aware of the breadth and depth of the federal mission and the incredibly important work that people do out there. It's, you know, it is astonishing when you go to interagency meetings and you hear about the wide variety of the federal government mission and how important the work is to the public, to the planet, to the international community, et cetera. So find a mission that you can really engage in and understand that, you know, there are going to be those ebbs and flows. And then focus on what's really, really important once you get there. So the, you know, there's lots of oversight, there's lots of compliance requirements, there's lots of regulation, there's lots of rules and procedures. I think, quite frankly, many of those things are true at any large business. So just stay focused on what's important to you and make sure that every day you are working on what really matters to you as an individual person and an individual contributor.
It's an excellent advice. I want to thank you for this wonderful conversation today. But more importantly, Lori and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you so much. After working in public service my entire adult life, that's always nice to hear. I would like to encourage your listeners, since we've talked about NASA for a while now, to really explore our website. And when I explore, I say explore, I mean that literally in the context of explorers. I think I mentioned that I tweet under NASA people. And one of the things that I try to do is connect people who are interested in exploration with real-life NASA employees who are out there doing, exploring the universe, exploring our planet every day, and to let people know about, you know, all the amazing work that our agency's engaged in. We have an award-winning website that you can find unbelievable amounts of content on, everything from apps for your iPad to NASA TV, Third Rock Radio. We have our own radio station, education materials if you're a teacher, education materials if you have children. And, you know, we're big believers in citizen explorers and taking the public along with us on everything that we do. So I would encourage everyone to engage with their space program and to participate.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Jerry Buchholz, Chief Human Capital Officer at NASA. My co-host today from IBM has been Lori Feller. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.